This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Another professional sports season is over in Boston, which means it's time to fire up those duck boats and celebrate another championship. Again, a little more than 3 months after those amphibious trucks carried the Red Sox through the city, it's time to celebrate the New England Patriots, who beat the LA Rams last night 13-3 to clinch their sixth Super Bowl. And get this, since 2001, that's the 12th championship title for a Boston team. Are we getting spoiled or what? WBUR Steve Brown joins us now from Gillette Stadium, where lots of fans are gathered as they wait for the Patriots to arrive home with a Lombardi trophy in their hands. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, hi, Anthony. How are you?
I'm very well. So give us a sense of what's going on down there in Foxborough.
Well, the anticipation is building right here. Just within the last minute, a number of TV helicopters just kind of flew over, indicating that the motorcade of buses coming up from the TF Green Airport in Warwick is getting much closer to the, as a matter of fact, I'm seeing the buses starting to pull in now. There's about 500 or so people here on hand at Gillette waiting for the team to get here. By the time I finish this report, the team will be here and we'll get off the buses, and I'm sure these folks will be erupting with applause welcoming them back to Gillette Stadium.
So, Steve, you've been talking to a lot of those fans. What are you hearing?
Well, this type of thing is just not growing tired. They like having these championships. Just the fact that they've won six so far, the Patriots, since 2001. I spoke with Jeff Curley, who was here with his two-year-old son. He was joking about how all of this winning may affect his son, who has never seen a Super Bowl where the Patriots weren't playing.
Yeah, right. We're used to those kind of near misses and always coming up short, and I think that built a lot of character in us. So I worry about my son growing up a little spoiled.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe it might be nice for, you know, him to experience some agony of defeat.
Got to start losing again, I guess.
Well, you know, I got to say that he had indicated that he is glad that this is not today that anyone is feeling that agony of defeat. As I'm talking to Anthony, the buses are pulling right into the parking lot here. They've got Go Patriots on the side. There's probably a half dozen buses led by the state police escort. The helicopters, the TV helicopters are up above. I'm wandering through the crowd. Everywhere you see, there's their iPhones are up in the air taking pictures of the buses coming in. Needless to say, an enthusiastic crowd here welcoming the Patriots back to Gillette Stadium.
Now, Steve, tell us what we know about the plan for the parade tomorrow.
Well, the parade tomorrow will, we've been through this before. I think everybody knows the details of the parade, although they never say there's going to be a parade until after the game is over. The parade is tomorrow, going to be starting around 11 o'clock. We'll go down Boylston Street to Tremont Street, and we'll wind up at City Hall Plaza. You know the drill, the duck boats, thousands upon thousands of fans playing hooky from work. School in order to line the parade route as the Patriots are honored with the
All right, we're going to say goodbye to Steve Brown, WBR Steve Brown from Gillette Stadium. The line was just giving out there, but Steve was there as the buses carrying the New England Patriots were arriving. Steve, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ed.
Joining us now from Atlanta is WBUR sports and society reporter Shira Springer, who stayed up most of the night covering the Super Bowl and its aftermath and still got up and got out for a run today. Shira Springer, great to have you.
Good to be here.
So this was a low-scoring game. I guess the big story is here is that New England just completely shut down the Rams' vaunted explosive offense. How did they do it?
They did it with defense. I mean, as Julian Edelman said, the Patriots' defense was unreal last night, and he was right. I mean, nobody, I think, of all the predictions that were made about Super Bowl 53, nobody expected the Rams, you know, the explosive offense of the Rams to be held to 3 points. It was really quite incredible. I mean, some highlights were Stephon Gilmore had that interception late in the fourth quarter, and then you had Dante Hightower with a sack of Jared Goff, and they just kept the pressure on all game long. and 24-year-old Jared Goff looked like a 24-year-old quarterback, never comfortable and just under pressure all night.
Now, Sher, it has to be said that the Rams made things pretty tough for Tom Brady, who didn't look like the usual Tom Brady for most of the game. But one touchdown, two field goals were more than enough for the win. But let's listen to a little bit of Brady and what he said about the victory.
It's unbelievable to win this game. They played so well. I mean, the Rams defense, they played their butts off. What a great defense. They had a great plan. They made it tough on every play, and we just kept fighting and finally got a touchdown, and the defense played best game of the year.
But Cheryl, what about Brady? I mean, he didn't, you know, he wasn't like, this wasn't a super high scoring game. It didn't look like vintage Brady until that fourth quarter when he did what he had to do.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only part of the game that was vintage Brady, you know, Tom Brady doing, like you said, what he needs to do in the fourth quarter. But it really, he looked shaky. I mean, listen, on his first pass, he threw an interception. It was like, uh-oh, what's happening here? And he also didn't look comfortable for most of the game. And just plays that, you know, missing throws, and just it seemed off and out of sync with a lot of his receivers a lot of the time. He just didn't seem to have the usual Brady-esque performance. He only threw for 262 yards, so that for him is a very small total comparatively to what he's done, you know, during other Super Bowls and other games this season. I put the only in quotes there. And, you know, but that being said, again, he made the plays he needed to make at the end of the game to get the win. And,
right.
You know, that's what it's all about, as they say.
That is what it's all about. So Julian Edelman is the MVP. But who stuck out to you in terms of individual performances? Was it Edelman? Was it others? Who are you thinking about today?
Of course Edelman sticks out, right? You know, I mean, here's this guy. He goes for 10 catches for 141 yards. And, you know, he's the seventh wide receiver to win the MVP award. So, yes, big performance from Edelman, but I have to keep going back to the defense again and again and again because they really were the MVPs in many ways. On the individual side on defense, you had guys like, again, Stephon Gilmore with the big interception late in the fourth, Dante Hightower with his sack. Thought was interesting was after the game, Hightower gave one of the most honest comments I've heard about all the focus on Tom Brady winning his sixth Super Bowl. Here's actually what Hightower said.
Man, I'm tired of hearing about Brady. I won one today, so we all got one. And, you know, it feels good, you know, for us to get it all, man. But, you know, shout out for him to getting his. But, you know, everybody this is a team thing. So it feels good to win.
Wait, did I just hear him say, I'm tired of hearing about Brady?
Yeah. I mean, you should have been there because when he said that, all the reporters who were gathered around, all of our eyebrows kind of shot up a little bit. And there was, because you could hear a little bit of a chuckle from some, because you really don't often hear a Patriots player talk that way about Brady. So it was a bit of a surprise. But I think there was some part of this team that was like, enough already with Brady's sixth championship. Like, we had a very up and down year, and you know, here we are winning this championship. Let's give credit where credit is due. And last night, that credit was due to the defense.
Sher, I want to bring in Chris Siderick. He's our producer here on Radio Boston. He's also a big fan, a knowledgeable fan of the New England Patriots. And Chris, great to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're looking a little bleary-eyed, I got to say, this afternoon. I think I know
why. You would
think
here in Boston we'd be used to this whole post-championship celebration days the next day. But here we are again.
Well, put this in some context for us. How does this team compare to some of the past championship teams? I'm talking about the Patriots, of course.
Yeah, I thought there was some really interesting symmetry here, and I want to go back to a comment that you made earlier, Anthony, about not seeing the usual Tom Brady. I think this is going to be the usual Tom Brady from here on out. He is not the peak Brady that's going to throw 60-yard passes down the field that we saw in the late 2000s. This is reminiscent of the game manager Brady, who brought this team to their first Super Bowl win in 2001, also against the Rams, a team, those titles were really won by a team that thrived on the defensive side of the ball, and that's what you saw again last night. I would say the difference and what makes him Tom Brady, and sorry, Hightower, the reason we're going to continue talking about Tom Brady as the greatest to ever play the game is because in those moments, in the fourth quarter, 10 minutes left on the clock, he's the guy who's going to go 4-for-4 and drive you 70 yards down the field and get that game-clinching score. He's done it every single Super Bowl this team has been in. He did it again last night. unbelievable.
So Shira, he's 41. This gets talked about again and again and again. He's not a young man. He still plays like a young guy, maybe not as young as he once was. But what are we hearing from him about how much longer he's going to be able to do this?
Oh, he's playing forever, right?
TB12 method, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But I really, you know, he is determined to play until he is 45. I mean, and there seems like there is nothing at this point that is going to stop him. You know, that's the goal he has in mind. When asked about, you know, what he was doing next after the game, he said, well, I'm going to get some rest and spend some time with my family. But, you know, certainly he'll be back next season. If anything, I think a Super Bowl like this kind of makes you hungrier. It wasn't a pretty game, and you kind of want to come back and say, yeah, we can play better than that. I can play better than that. And maybe prove you wrong, Chris. Maybe we will see some vintage Brady in the years ahead. I think this is going to add fuel to the fire for him.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do here, Shira. I just want to motivate him, get him to come back even better
next
year.
Goal.
Absolutely. Totally.
Motivation. Okay.
I think you're absolutely right, though, that I was talking to some folks after the game last night and folks saying, oh, isn't he going to just ride off into the sunset? What a great way to go out, a la John Elway. That's not who Brady is, and you could hear it in his voice as he's standing there holding the trophy, the confetti's coming down. He lives for that moment, and I think every time he gets that moment, he's thinking about the next one.
And in terms of vintage Brady, I have to say, let's go back to that fourth quarter where he did march the team down and get them into the red zone. What, three plays, identical plays, right in a row almost, those beautiful passes.
Yeah,
that
four
just...
for four going down the field, and then Sony Michel punches it in. That 29-yard pass to Gronk was the best throw of the game, and it was so vintage Brady and vintage Gronk. It was such a beautiful play.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it was so vintage Gronk. I mean, that was one of the nice things to see last night, was a little bit of vintage Gronk. And that's interesting because Gronk obviously has a big decision, as we know, coming up. You know, will he or won't he return? And I honestly think it's open-ended in his mind. I think he is going to take a few weeks, as he said, to think about it before he makes a decision. But it was nice if Gronk is the guy that sort of gets to go off into the sunset on a win, that you got to see some of that vintage Gronk last
night. Yeah, that was the play of the game, and he does actually strike me as a ride-off into the sunset guy, so I wouldn't be surprised if he walks away.
Personality-wise, he certainly does, too.
If he comes back, it's because Brady begs him.
Yes. And you got the feeling in some ways. I mean, we were all talking all week down here about, you know, how he was, you know, so happy and so at ease and having so much fun with all the Super Bowl festivities. And then if you're, you know, kind of reflecting back on this, the week of Gronk that was, you wonder if it's because he knew this could be the last time around for him and that this was sort of, in his own way, sort of like a farewell song. Don't know for sure, but you wonder if that was part of why he was so jovial at many of the press conferences.
Right. Well, that'll be really interesting to watch what his decision is. Let me ask you this. I'll start with you, Chris. Biggest moment of the game. This was a low-scoring game. There, as we've sort of talked about, there wasn't like supercharged excitement all the way through it. But what was the biggest moment that sort of turned the game, that really determined the game in your view?
So first of all, I would argue with anyone who says that's a boring game. I thought it was an incredibly compelling game. When it's a 0-0 tie or a 3-0 lead, one play could absolutely swing the momentum in a huge way. So right. I thought it was pretty tense the whole way through. There are a couple of major plays that really made the difference. Obviously, Shira mentioned the pick by Gilmore. I mentioned the pass to Gronk. But for me, the one that really stood out was actually the Rams had a shot to score late in the third quarter, about 3 minutes left in the
Jason
third
McCourty,
quarter. Jason
right?
McCourty, not even on his assignment, runs across the entire field to break up a pass to Brandon Cooks. That, to me, was the biggest play of the game. If the Rams score a touchdown there, that could be a very different outcome.
Right, and just to set
total
that up, Cooks had the football in his hands, his feet were inbound, and out of nowhere, boom, knocks the football right out of his hands.
And that followed after Patrick Chung went down less than a minute into the second half. I sat back and said, oh no, because he's a guy that doesn't necessarily fill up the stats, but at the same time is a huge part of what that team does on defense, and especially in the secondary. Huge play by Jason McCourty at the end of the third quarter there.
Shira, biggest moment for you.
Yeah, can I just say one word about Jason McCourty?
Of course.
I think, you know, of the whole team, everybody felt, you know, especially Devin McCourty, but, you know, there was such a warm feeling for Jason McCourty to get this championship after having watched his brother win so many. But for me, you know, Chris mentioned the Stephon Gilmore pick. That had to be it. Just, I think, in terms of what was at stake during the game, you know, Rams are driving down the field. They trail only by a touchdown. It's about four and a half minutes left to play. That was a huge, huge defensive play for the Patriots.
And that wasn't just a play by Gilmore. That was a play that really was caused by Daron Harmon with a great blitz, putting some serious pressure on Goff, and Goff ends up just chucking it up there.
All right, so time for some big context here. What about, Shira, the Patriots? Talk about what the Patriots have done as a franchise. Is this the greatest dynasty we've ever seen? Does it surpass the Boston Celtics in their great dynasty days?
You sort of took the words right out of my mouth, which is, I think you might want to talk to the Celtics about being the greatest sports dynasty of all time. They certainly have put up obviously the Celtics have a really good case for the greatest dynasty of all time. But I think, you know, the NFL is sort of a different beast, right? You know, in the competitiveness and the parity year in, year out. And you realize, you know, just last night's game was a good example of how hard it is to win, how this can be sort of, like, the game can be sort of a slog, a grind. And, you know, with that said, to do what the Patriots have done over the time span that they've done it since 2002, I mean, it is mind-boggling. It will certainly, I think, never be repeated in the NFL. But I'm not quite there yet to say the greatest dynasty of all time. I think the Celtics, like I say, have a bit to say there.
I got to disagree with you, Shira. I am the biggest Bill Russell fan on earth, but to me, the NBA was a different game back then. There were a handful of competitive teams. What the Patriots have done in a league that is built to make this impossible to do, as you said, it's all about the parity in the NFL. With the salary cap structure, you're not supposed to be able to have this kind of long-term success, and yet the Pats keep finding a way to do it. Even just getting back to the Super Bowl. No team has gone back to the Super Bowl after losing the Super Bowl the year before since the Buffalo Bills in the early 90s. So even getting back there, never mind winning a sixth franchise title, to me, this is the greatest dynasty of all time.
Wow. All right. Shira, I want to come back to you as the reporter on the ground there. It seems like there were a lot of Patriots fans in the building. What was the atmosphere like last night?
I think you can take the seams out of that sentence. There were a lot of Patriots fans in the building. They far, far, far outnumbered the number of Rams fans. I think conservative estimates, you know, by the reporters there was that it was 75% Patriots fans and 25% Rams fans, and that's in a crowd of about 70,000 plus, so a very loud and vocal Patriots contingent. They were chanting Brady throughout the game. They were chanting Beat LA, you know, and their presence was clear from the moment the Patriots took the field for warmups. So, yeah, big, big, big Patriots contingent there. I think everybody wants to be part of this dynasty, right? Maybe the greatest dynasty of all time.
Don't forget booing Roger Goodell, too.
And Shira, before we wrap up, finally, I know that there was one moment that stuck out for you, and that was the pregame tribute to Martin Luther King. Can you talk a little bit about the significance of that moment?
Yeah, so I'll set it up a little bit. You know, before the coin toss, there was a tribute to Martin Luther King. It was sort of a video montage, this inspirational video montage that led up to this moment.
Please welcome the CEO of the King Center, daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Reverend Dr. Bernice A. King. Joined by Atlanta icons, Congressman John Lewis. And Ambassador Andrew Young.
Wow, John Lewis, Andrew Young, and Bernice King.
Yeah, also, you know, obviously with John Lewis, you know, civil rights icon, and,
right.
And you know, still the MLK montage struck so many as hypocritical in the light of the way the NFL has handled players kneeling during the national anthem. As you know, they're doing that to raise awareness of, you know, social injustice and racism. And, you know, sitting in the stands and seeing that, first of all, I was like, whoa, that's interesting. And then it's sort of like, oh, yeah, this is typical of the way the NFL thinks it can control the conversation or cover up controversies with a nice little montage. It's like, hey, we're addressing it. Here's an inspirational montage. But it's all optics, because then you have Colin Kaepernick and collusion on the other hand. And to me, it's not dissimilar to the way they handle domestic violence. All optics.
Hmm. Well, really interesting. That's WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer reporting from Atlanta on Super Bowl 53. Shira, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And Radio Boston's own Chris Sidorek. Chris, thanks so much for coming in as well.
We're still here.
Okay, stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.